Honorable members, welcome back after a long constituency period. Hoping that EFF is going stronger after the revelations of some of their people. Having associated themselves with so-called their enemy of the revolution, they must keep strong. Yeah, that's what you do. You deal with people directly.
In solidarity with them.
We are in solidarity with those that are dealt with, who are going to be their shoulders to cry on. Welcome back, Honorable Webers. Hoping to have a productive day and a fruitful meeting. I see there's representatives from the ministry and the deputy minister's office. We welcome you and the representative from the Consul General of China. You are all welcomed. Our meeting is not starting at 9:30 because we were bound to wait for quorum. However, we are hoping that we will move with speed so that at 12 we adjourn and then come back after that at 2. So without wasting time, I'm going to allow Ms. Dineo to present the delegate's report to the portfolio committee, and after that we'll have discussions, and after discussions we'll do the minutes of our previous meetings, and then we adjourn for lunch. So in that order.
Thank you, sir. Chair, the legacy report, Chair, will be jointly presented by myself and my part, Chair, will focus on reflections on committee program per year and from of the last 5 years of the fifth parliament, from 2014 to 2019. Chair, in 2014, the committee had its orientation workshop, which introduced the members to international relations and also visited different branches of the department, which presented on their bearing work to familiarize the committee on different areas of international relations. And then, Chair, we closed the year with the consideration of the annual report of the department for the year of 2014. 2015, Chair, the committee was presented with the Foreign Service Bill. However, due to budgetary constraints, the committee could not undertake a study job in this particular year. And then also under the year 2015, the committee undertook an oversight visit to Iran, and also where they began the oversight on the implementation of the resolutions of the Joint Commission between the Republic of South Africa and the Islamic Republic of Iran, which took place from the 9th to the 11th of May 2015. The second leg of the oversight was over the execution of South Africa's international relations policy by South African embassies in Tehran, which took place on the 11th of May 2015. Also, Chair, under the year 2015, the committee undertook to receive a number of political briefings on current situations in South Sudan, and also had a briefing by DECO on South Africa-Cuba relations and latest developments on Cuba-US relations. And furthermore, Chair, the committee was also briefed on the progress and challenges of host agreement between the African Union and the government of South Africa on the seat of the Pan-African Parliament. And also, the committee was given an update on the lease agreement for the Pan-African Parliament headquarters. And furthermore, was updated on the progress finding a suitable site to build the headquarters of the Pan-African Parliament. During that year, Chair, the committee was also briefed by the department on privileges and immunities extended to diplomats in South Africa and challenges of implementation in relation to the Vienna Convention on Privileges and Immunities in Diplomatic Relations, 1951 Vienna Convention on Consular Relations, 1953 UN Convention on Privileges and Immunities for the United Nations, 1946, and South Africa's Immunities and Privileges Act of 2001. In 2016, Chair, the committee opened its year by discussing the strategic plan of the department. It was meant to assist the committee to identify critical areas which were of concern in the implementation of South Africa's foreign policy in the past 5 years. And also, Chair, the committee received a briefing by DECO on South Africa's strategic role, economic diplomacy relating to activities on how its participation in the foreign South South forums addresses domestic challenges, the BRICS New Development Bank, FOCAC, IORA, and the development under AGOA. And also, Chair, we received a briefing on the political situation in Lesotho, Burundi, and Zimbabwe's role towards a peaceful resolution in the obtaining situation. During this year, Chair, we also had an opportunity to receive a briefing by the South African Council on International Relations, Chair, and the South African Association of Former Ambassadors, High Commissioners and Chief Representatives on their mandate and the work they've done so far since their launch. And also, Chair, we closed the year by receiving a briefing by the Minister on the Foreign Service Base and South Africa's white paper on South Africa's foreign policy and on international relations and political development. Under the year 2017, Chair, the committee finally undertook a study tour to Canada on the foreign service base, where during also whilst we were in Canada, Chair, the committee also undertook an oversight visit to our South African embassy in Canada. Chair, it is also important to know that the parliamentary oversight model is such that the committee is unable to undertake regular oversight visits abroad where South Africa's foreign policy is being implemented. It was also noted, Chair, that during this period, the department had been slow to implement some of the recommendations of the Auditor General, especially those that caused it to receive a negative audit outcome. As a result of this, the committee had to dedicate its session to deal with these matters. However, not all issues have been addressed. In 2018, Chair, during this period, the committee finalized processes on the Foreign Service Bill, and the National Assembly adopted it on 21 November 2018, and the committee further undertook an oversight visit to Namibia, where there is a high number of state-owned properties. Some of these properties are unoccupied and are different degrees of dilapidation. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, sir. Chair, during the during the State Parliament, the committee undertook the following oversight trips. From 23 to 24 September 2014 and 17 October 2014, the Kupulo Committee visited the facilities and premises of the headquarters building of the Department of International Relations. The objective of the visit were familiarizing itself with the temporary office accommodation offered to the Pan-African Parliament in terms of the physical structure and variety of facilities at the disposal of the Pan-African Parliament. And also, Chair, there was a visit to the state protocol lounges and the state guest houses. In 2015, Chair, as I noted earlier on, the committee undertook an oversight visit to Iran and Doha. The oversight was on the processes aimed at the implementation of the joint commission between the Republic of South Africa and Islamic Republic of Iran. And in 2017, Chair, from the 9th to the 17th of September, the committee undertook its oversight visit to one of our missions in Canada to assess and ensure accountability in the conduct of international relations by the identified embassy abroad, and to measure and evaluate the identified embassy's performance in its bilateral relations with the identified countries. Through the application of parliamentary diplomacy to determine the identified embassy's performance in the multilateral forum, in furtherance of national interest and outcome levels of government strategic objectives. And the last oversight, Chair, was in 2018, where the committee went to Namibia to understand and have adequate information on the scale of the operational and diplomatic challenges posed by vacant state-owned land parcels and properties across the globe. Honourable Members, can we please turn to page 31? During the State Parliament, the Portfolio Committee only received one petition, which was from the National Coalition for Palestine, which was referred to the committee on the 14th of August 2014. Where the committee also met with the National Coalition for Palestine and reported on the meeting. Yes, I think.
Is that all?
Yes, sir.
What about you, do you know? Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. There will be a presentation on the screen from Robert, so that the members are able to vote. Maybe just to give a bit of background in terms of why the report is being presented to the committee. The letter to the court, or by its own nature, is a report which was developed and adopted by the Fifth Parliament, by the committee in the Fifth Parliament. And it's meant to share information and also set the basis for work for the Sixth Parliament in terms of each covering the areas that were covered by the previous committee, work that was not completed by the previous committee, and some of the recommendations which the previous committee highlighted so that the current committee can pick and choose, and also actually decide on which issues it's going to prioritize and which issues it's going to carry forward. And then it also helps the committee to actually start thinking about areas which they are going to import into its own strategic plan when the time comes for the committee to have its own 5-year strategic plan in the few months that are coming. So my part, Chairperson, is simply to, can we go to the second number? Yeah. My part, Chairperson, is to deal with some of the salient content issues in the legacy report. The light thing that members see there, it's meant to at least impress upon the committee that there is some sort of, when there is lightning, everybody else shuns away. So that lightning is the oversight model of Parliament, which is hovering over this committee. So the mandate of this committee has to navigate around the lightning that we see on the screen. The oversight on the department is determined by the environment within which the department is operating. As we were made aware during the ATP presentation, that the environment within which the department is operating is volatile, is uncertain, is ambiguous, and it's volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. So as a result, the mandate of the committee is also following on that kind of a framework. Besides the first challenge, which is the oversight model, the committee has not been able to actually operate optimally in terms of its oversight, because the operations of the department are carried out beyond the borders of South Africa mostly. The missions of South African missions abroad are the engines, and they are the implementers of foreign policy of South Africa. But the committee has not been able to regularly assess and monitor the performance of South African missions abroad because of the challenges of the oversight model. The oversight model of Parliament states that all committees of government, I mean of committees of Parliament, undertake in the period of the legacy report in the fifth parliament, it was 4 oversight visits per year. And those oversight visits were envisaged to be locally undertaken to the provinces where the committees, where the departments which those committees are covering have provincial offices, they have local offices. So all this oversight was envisaged to be undertaken within the borders of South Africa by all the committees of parliament. So they were given 4 opportunities a year. So in the 5 years, it's 4 times 5. Now, study tool, which is allowed for committees to undertake to study best practices abroad, is done once in 5 years, according to the oversight model. So this committee, I mean, the previous committee encountered problems in the sense that when they actually approached the TOs for them to undertake oversight, which is external, their response was that they were undertaking a study tour, and therefore study tours would only be undertaken once in 5 years. So that was the main challenge. And if the committee wanted to undertake oversight, they should undertake oversight to Pretoria. So this became a serious challenge because, as we say, the nature of foreign policy is such that foreign policy is executed beyond the borders of South Africa mainly. So I'll leave that bubble on the challenges of with the oversight model and go straight to Program 1. Program 1, in the past parliament, had issues which the committee grappled with, and this related to reduced budgets which over time, over the 5 years, the department was faced with. Reduced budget in the sense that even if in rand and cents it would be, 1 year would be better than the other, but since their operations are mainly outside the country, that budget would be impacted upon by foreign exchange fluctuations. And also, and therefore it would remain a challenge to the implementation of the mandate. The other thing was compensation of employees. Within that 5 years, Treasury had issued a directive that all the departments of government have to operate within a certain ceiling in terms of compensation of employees. And for this department, since it has officials working internally and externally, it became a challenge in the sense that those who are locally recruited personnel, those who are recruited in the missions abroad, have to be paid in foreign currency, and also the officials from South Africa who are working in the missions would have to have their foreign service allowances in foreign currency, and this was impacted upon on the budget of the department. The supply chain management issues arose several times, which related to tendering and also to the issue of not getting the 3 quotes as prescribed under the TFMA. So this has been a big challenge in the department. But in some of the embassies abroad, you'll find that there are very few service providers, and hence the mission concerned would be faced with maybe 1 supplier for a commodity. As a result, they would have no choice of the 3 codes. But be that as it may, the TSMA still gives it has checks and balances to say if there are no 3 codes, at least such an entity should apply for derogation. so that it is actually approved that it could use only one gate. And this was not happening in the department. This was an issue. Then the assets register of the department has also been a big issue, whereby the register is not up to date. Its completeness has been in question several times by the AG. And then the ICT systems of the department were found to be awful to the extent that they were posing a risk to the work of the department. And then also the LRP, the locally recruited personnel, were also many in number in the mission, and their conditions are normally controlled by laws and regulations of the countries that the mission will be situated. So that was creating a lot of problems. And then there was also, under Program 1, the Foreign Service Bill, which was tabled, as Lubaba has already mentioned, which is still before the committee now. And in fact, the committee dealt with it. The NA adopted it. The NCOT sent it back, suggesting an amendment to it, which is now, which will be before the committee, and for the committee to decide on. The other issue under Program 1 was the high cost on leases. What is happening is that the department has over 1,000 pieces of property that they have hired or leased out for accommodation overseas. So this is causing it's a cost driver for the department in the sense that they are paid in foreign currency, and from time to time, the rate of the leases themselves, the owners from time to time will vary payments. You know, they increase within a certain percentage within maybe 6 months or a year, and some of them are paid in advance. So it's a very costly exercise. And as a result, the committee had even recommended that the department look into acquiring property instead of using property abroad. The Pan-African Parliament chairperson also became an issue. This relates to its headquarters, because an agreement which a host agreement which South Africa signed with the AU, whereby South Africa had offered to provide a permanent headquarters to the Pan-African Parliament. That has not happened. Now, the department has the responsibility to pay for the accommodation of Pan-African Parliament, as it stands now in the UN offices and NEPAD and APRA. So this is one area which the committee dealt with. The other area, chairperson, was the migration to SAFA. As it stands now, the ARF is the foreign service tool which the department uses for leveraging support and also to help other African countries in terms of humanitarian assistance, good governance, and the others which are listed, which we'll see later. But since there were issues with the ARF as an entity under Schedule 3, which is a fund, it's not totally independent in its operation. So the governance issues of the ARF warranted that Cabinet decide in 2009 that it should be converted into a proper agency which will be able to deal with this matter. So this migration has not happened. Then quotas, in terms of quotas, the committee dealt with the fact that South Africa is a member to different international organizations and it pays you know, a lot of money in terms of membership fee in these organizations. And these organizations do offer quotas for different countries, depending on how much you are paying. The more you pay, the more quotas you have for your own citizens to work in this organization. So South Africa has not taken advantage of this. And the committee actually insisted on, recommended that the department look into that. Now, with the Professional Diplomatic Academy, it's part of what the committee discussed under the tourism scheme to say, to recommend that it's about time that the department actually considers having a professional diplomatic academy like other countries, at least within the BRICS, whereby our diplomats are trained and are certificated in whatever training that they will be doing and undertake examinations for them to qualify to be in the missions abroad. The issue of vacant properties abroad also came up a lot, Chairperson, in terms of the mandate of public works, which is to oversee all government state-owned properties internally and abroad. But it became a problem in the sense that those properties which were abroad, which are under the service and maintenance by DECO, both departments happen to have issues, and they couldn't reach an understanding on how to deal with properties abroad. So the bill itself has again addressed that issue in terms of putting it that the Department of International Relations should be responsible for all the properties that are beyond the borders of South Africa, which are being used by the nation. So it's in the bill, so that issue will be tackled by the bill. Now, in terms of Program 2, Chairperson, the committee had discussions on both political, economic, and social relations with different countries. Economic diplomacy was at the center of the discussions by the committee. And also, since international relations relates to the work by the 125 South African missions abroad, different topics relating to elections in these countries, economic activity, and also investment drive that would have been championed by the missions abroad was discussed, and also issues relating to economic integration of SADC was discussed under this program. Under Program 3, Chairperson, the issues related to participation in international organizations by the department, and also to try and understand how the department is, how its participation is impacting on the outcomes of those international fora. For example, at the UN, at the AU, how its participation would influence the decisions that are taken in those organizations. Under Program 5, which is international transfers, the issues of membership fees to international organizations and transfers to ARF were discussed. And often, towards the end of the fifth parliament, the issues with the contribution to the AU also became an issue, whereby the fees were increased and Treasury was sort of slow to come to the party on that one. Then on Program 4, which is public diplomacy and protocol services, this is where Brand SA and South Africa here at home and in the missions work towards improving the image and also communicating the decisions that are taken by DECO outside the country in the international organizations, and also to make sure that people understand foreign policy and why South Africa is operating in the area that it is operating. Now, there are emerging trends which started in the fifth parliament, which are continuing even now, Chairperson, which this committee will still have maybe interest in looking into. The withdrawal of United Kingdom from the EU, Brexit, as it's well known, it's still on the agenda. The political situation in Libya, in Sudan, Algeria, Zimbabwe, those issues are still very much alive, and there are still conflict hotspots in Africa. We have the DRC, Darfur, Mali, all those areas where there are conflict hotspots. The committee will still be dealing with issues related to that. And there are trade wars now between China and the US, the Iran nuclear deal with the EU, and then also the seemingly far-right emergence of far-right parties in the EU, and the continuing economic embargo on Cuba. The issue of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is still on the cards. Self-determination for Western Sahara is still also on the cards. And there will still be elections in the continent, where South Africa will still have interest, and the committee will still need to be briefed on those areas. Now, if we continue, Lubabalo, to the second slide quickly. This is the NCT. The NCT itself, which is the African Resistance Fund, it was created by an Act of Parliament in 2000, and its mandate is actually promotion of democracy, that is elections, good governance, prevention and resolution of conflict, social development and integration, humanitarian assistance, human resource development, and the department has been working a lot more under the NCT. And there are many projects which are being funded by the project, by the entity, which will be discussed by the committee in the future, and this also happens in the fifth committee. And then most of the elections, at least within SADC, South Africa has been able to extend some assistance from funds that came from the ERF, to make sure that those elections happen and are successful. The challenges with the entity is that it's demand driven. It's not proactive. So perhaps this is what the thinking of the committee in the fifth parliament, that perhaps the new sort of agency which will take over from the ARF will also be demand-driven and also proactive, so that they are able to plan ahead and also focus on certain objectives which they can decide that funding will be extended to situations A, B, C, D, or to objective A and objective B of South Africa's foreign policy. So that is an area which the committee will discuss further. And then the governance issues of the department, I mean of the entity, were also at issue, because currently the entity reports is under the department directly, and it reports to the DG. So in essence, the DG is reporting to himself or herself. So that became a bit of a problem. And then it also doesn't have its own policies, operational policies. It uses the same policies of the department. So it becomes a bit of a problem in terms of it supposedly semi-independent. Then it also has to rely on consultation of two ministers, Minister of Finance and Minister of International Relations, for them to agree on funding to whatever project it has been, funding would be requested by a recipient country. So that in itself caused a bit of delay at times between the two ministers if they were not agreeing. Now, the migration to SAPA, as we have said, is something that is on the cusp. The ATT of the department in 1920 has indicated that within 1920 the ARF will be repealed and the new act which will replace the ARF will be tabled before Parliament. So that issue will be dealt with by members in due course. Then the next slide, Chairperson, it relates to some of the recommendations which the Fifth Parliament made to this committee in terms of new areas of oversight. And these ones there are many, but these ones which we have highlighted here are the urgent ones, which the Fifth Parliament thought maybe this committee could look into. The first one is on progress made on vacant properties in Namibia and elsewhere. What happened towards the end of Fifth Parliament, honourable members, is that the committee went on oversight, dedicated oversight to Namibia, because it had to decide on a clause on the deal in terms of whether DECO should undertake responsibility for custodianship of properties and bonds. So that oversight was undertaken. So the committee needs to do a follow-up and just to monitor progress on whether the recommendations which were made in terms of maintaining those properties, renovating them, and also day-to-day running of those properties, not only in Namibia, because there are many other countries which were mentioned where there are vacant properties and also land parcels which belong to the Republic, which have not been properly maintained because of the impact which existed between Department of Public Works and DECO. They should also be a study tour on SAPA, because if the department is going to table a bill which creates now an agency which is going to run development assistance on behalf of South Africa, the committee will need to learn best practices on how such an agency is run and how its oversight is like. So there are countries like we have districts in the UK, we have CEDA in Canada and CEDA in Sweden, and there are different models. China has its own, USA in the US. It's those kind of agencies which are running development assistance on behalf of countries, but mainly used as tools for foreign policy to actually implement foreign policy through development assistance. So that is one major area which this committee will have to address. Now, in 2020, South Africa is going to assume the chairmanship of the African Union. So what it means there is what we call shifting diplomacy. This is an area where South Africa is excelling at the moment. It's participating in many shifting missions, both under the of the UN and also of the AU and within SADC. So it will be advisable for the committee to actually, during the term, the tenure of South Africa's presidency in the EU, to also have some sort of an oversight visit to assess the impact on participation of South Africa in SADC, in the EU, and also at the UN. SADC is in Botswana, EU is in Ethiopia, and the UN is in New York. So all these areas are areas of oversight for this committee in terms of South African participation in those organizations. The other oversight chairperson will be on, should be on South African missions abroad, and there are 125 of them, for the committee to assess and ensure that there is implementation of bilateral agreements which South Africa is a party to. So what normally happens under parliamentary diplomacy and economic diplomacy is that this committee and its counterpart committee, for example in Botswana, would sit and assess whether the two executive organs of state, of the two states, are actually implementing bilateral agreements which are in place. And such oversight visits or oversight meetings with counterpart committees are something which are very important in terms of the work of this committee, so that the committee is able to assess whether there is actual implementation on the ground and whether there are any bottlenecks in terms of the implementation of those agreements. So it's the mandate of this committee to ensure that that happens. Indeed, in the chief committee, the suggestion was that maybe, the committee was of the view that indeed they cannot go to all the 125 missions, but at least it could be done. They had suggested that it be done regionally, twice a year, for the 5 years, so that at least the committee is able to cover all the five regions of the five continents within the 5 years in terms of its oversight to South African missions abroad. The next one is on investigative oversight, honorable members. Investigative oversight was recommended on the political situation in Western Sahara and also Israeli-Palestinian issues. It's investigative in the sense that as a committee of parliament, we cannot do a fact-finding mission to a different country, to a foreign country, because we are not going to take a decision of who is right or who is wrong. So they are called investigative oversight, so that the committee visits these areas and sees for itself what the situation on the ground is, so that when they make recommendations on the situation to government, they are able to say, we have seen these two sides of the story and this is what we are recommending. So that is one oversight which was not undertaken, which was half of it was undertaken in the fifth committee, but it continues because the situation still obtains. Western Sahara is still under Morocco, and Israeli and Palestinian conflict is still continuing. The other agent oversight chairperson is the headquarters of GLECOM, its diplomatic academy, the lounges, the guest houses, Pan-African Parliament, the UN offices, NEPAD, APRN, which fortunately the committee is going to be undertaking next week. So this is also important, so that the committee familiarizes itself with the actual premises of the department, to know where it is and its strategic location, and also the other areas where responsibility extends to. It has guest houses which is running, which are meant to actually cater for visiting VIPs. It pays for Pan African Parliament, accommodation, the UN offices, NEPAD and APRN. And it also has responsibility over state protocol lounges in three international airports, which is Cape Town, Kinshasa in Durban, and also Istanbul in Johannesburg. So all these are areas of oversight for this committee, so that the committee can familiarize itself and know what they are supposed to be doing there, so that they can have an oversight strategy over the functions of those premises which we are going to be seeing. The other one, Chairperson, follow your aid visit to all the ARF project areas. This is also urgent in the sense that it has never happened before, and the ARF is the only entity which is under the oversight process by this committee. So it's funding projects over many countries in Africa, and it has been doing that over the years. And the AG has always been saying, have you, as a committee, verified that those projects actually exist? And the committee has been relying on the reports from DECO, and DECO, for a while, it was also relying on project managers, reports from project managers from those areas. Recently, the missions are also, you know, contributing to that, but it's not enough for the committee to only rely on information which is coming from the side of the executive without it actually going on a verification and this oversight visit to those areas. The last one, Chairperson, which is also urgent, is on the UN Security Council, because South Africa is in the UN Security Council for 2 years, for 2019 and 2020. This is time-bound, because South Africa after 2020 will not be in the Security Council. Then, in October this year, Chairperson, again, South Africa will be chairing the UN Security Council. So, the recommendation was that it will be opportune for this committee to actually be able to do a supervisory sort of oversight where it's going to assess the impact of South Africa's participation in the UN Security Council. And also, we have had, the committee will have a formal presentation on that, but we have had the inroads which South Africa has made since it started its third term in the UN Security Council, which is very important. And if the committee were to actually visit during this term, it would benefit its oversight and also enhance its overreach. I mean, not overreach, enhance its activity on South Africa's participation in multilateral forums in New York. Then, on top of that, in New York itself, there are supply chain management issues, Chairperson, which relate to procurement of premises in New York. So that is another area where, within this time, that the committee can be able to deal with. Now, the next slide, I think we have dealt with. I will not go into it in depth, except to say there is need for the committee to apply its mind on the compensation of employees issue, which is a serious challenge facing the department in terms of it not being able to overcome this issue, much as it has to comply with the Treasury directive. The problem is that its budget is fixed. I mean, it's done on a fixed rate. For example, if they say, if Treasury decides that this year, when we do the budget of the department, we will project that 1 rand, I mean 7 rand will be equal to a donor. The budget is fixed according to that, and then 3 months down the line, the dollar becomes 14 to 1 rand, I mean 14 rand to 1 dollar. So the department finds itself in a fix. They are not able to gather around, and they find themselves at times having to actually even make viands which are not approved. So they need assistance. The department would need assistance and would need the committee to apply its mind on how best it can assist the department to get out of this problem, and also to be able to stay within the ceiling. And in the state parliament, what has been recommended was that the department should meet with National Treasury and the Reserve Bank and see how best this issue could be addressed. Now, Chairperson, in terms of public diplomacy, this slide, I think, it's important in terms of what the work of the committee could be internally, and it can be shared with the select committee on international relations. This is what the committee can do internally. There are consular matters which rise from time to time. Actually, even just 2 days ago, I think two South Africans in Vietnam found them, they are missing. And the Gift of the Givers is trying to help, and therefore to try and find out, you know, what the situation is around either kidnapping or disappearance of the two South Africans. So that issue is on the it's an oversight issue for this committee, because often now South Africans find themselves abroad, traveling abroad, either for studying or hiding there or for whatever reason. Some of them are in prison because most of them is drug related issues. Some children are being kidnapped, some die overseas. So these issues are of concern to the committee, and they are continuing. So the committee has to be mindful of that, and also deal with these matters as and when if they arrive, or even before they arrive. There is an issue of registration, which has been recommended by the committee and over the years to say, and the department responded, Department of Investor Relations and Home Affairs. There was what was called ROSA, registration of South Africans abroad, whereby South Africans were required to register with the mission in the countries that they'll find themselves in. But it wasn't really successful because it was a voluntary exercise process, and also citizens were not really keen to disclose to the missions abroad where their whereabouts are. And then when they disaster strikes, you find that the mission would not know who is within the area of the accreditation. So that is very important. So it's important for the committee to talk about this in the provinces. It's important for this committee to talk about the importance of South Africans registering so that their whereabouts are known. There is a smart travel kit which the department has launched, I think last year or the year before, which the committee can also popularize and inform the public in terms of what needs to be done, what people need to be aware of when they travel abroad. Then with public diplomacy strategy, what the department has now, it's a communication strategy with the committee in the Trade Parliament. We're saying the communication strategy is very good. It says, you know, they are communicating with the public, they are issuing statements, there is also Radio Ubuntu where they are communicating the message. But the issue where that who I mean, what is the reach for Ubuntu Radio, which is online, and the magazines which the department is producing from time to time, and the media, you know, to reach was very important and also of concern to the committee to say the department should make sure that everybody accesses the message from the department. And this is an area where, as a committee, both SELECT and PC would undertake internally to make sure that the populace understands South Africa's foreign policy and associate with it. Now, the other thing is compliance with consultative mechanisms on international business. This is a problem which is facing the department. This is where now provinces undertake international activities. I mean, activities of an international nature, which are also of foreign policy nature. And this they would do without actually coordinating those processes through DECO. There is a consultative mechanism which was adopted by Cabinet to say DECO should be coordinating all activities of international or foreign policy nature which are undertaken by the three spheres of government. But this seems to be a problem. There is no biting, and the department seems to be having challenges with that. But this is an area where the two committees can be able to also ensure that internally, through provinces, local governments, all the spheres of government comply with this, and see and find out the best ways, means, and ways of complying. The other thing, Chairperson, is foreign policy is known to be very elitist. It's meant for people who are, you know, high level, so to say. So the people on the ground are left behind in terms of South African foreign policy, what it stands for and why it is operating the way it is, why we are in the DRC, why we are at the UN at the moment, why we have interest in Lesotho, why we have interest in South Sudan. All these matters the people on the ground do not understand and do not relate to. So it's important for this committee to ensure that the public participation programs that the department undertakes from time to time. The ministers go to provinces and address students, different universities, to make sure that actually people do get, to ensure that knowledge and understanding also of that foreign policy is actually there. After the public participation programs undertaken by the ministers, the committee should also follow up to ensure that actually people understand and also buy in into the progress of South Africa's foreign policy. The previous committee had undertaken the committee in 2009 to 2014 undertook three outreach programs to different provinces to actually try to fight to bring foreign policy to the level of the people. In 2014-19, two outreach programs were undertaken. The rest, there was a very, you know, the program of the committee was very tight. So that is an area where this committee should look into, to have outreach programs to the people in different provinces, whether it's universities or ordinary people on the ground, so that at least they ensure that there is a buy-in and there is an understanding of the activities of foreign policy outside, the activities of the ARF. People should understand why we are building bridges in Abidjan, when in Kainisha there are no bridges. These are very important matters, which is the oversight responsibility of this committee to ensure that people do understand both the CLEP committee and the TC. And this area could also help to address the issues of xenophobia, so that when there is an understanding of why people are here and why South Africa is extending a helping hand to other sister countries in Africa or elsewhere, then people will begin to appreciate. Then the committee could also ensure popularization of the activities of the ERS. This is important in terms of the department is operating through the ERF in many countries in Africa. Where there is a disaster, you see South Africa, where there are elections, South Africa is there. There are many projects, food security in Cote d'Ivoire, there are projects which they are planting of rice and vegetables. There are so many things that the ERF is doing. And the people of this country need to know what South Africa is doing to assist the other sister countries in the continent. And this can be done through the SLEP committee and the TC. Now, the voting patterns of South Africa in international fora has become a matter of importance in terms of it picked up as the media even before the committee can deal with matters of that nature. So it's important to also disseminate and discuss and ensure that the voting patterns are understood and the posters and decisions taken by South Africa International Forum are understood, because the media has its own narrative of, you know, why South Africa is taking a certain poster. Then the two committees can be able to ensure that the department is communicated and people understand what these positions mean and why they are the way they are. Now, there are three important strategic policy guidelines under which South Africa is participating. It's the UN SDG, the AU Agenda 2063, and the SADC Revised Regional Indicative Strategic Development. These documents are important in terms of, because they lay the foundation within which South Africa has committed itself to work with the world. Under the SDGs, we know there are 17 of them, and each area of government has a responsibility to attend to. So in order to ensure that there is service delivered in terms of implementation of SDGs, it's within interest of this committee, the oversight interest of this committee, to ensure that actually on the ground this is happening. The Agenda 2063 of the AU also, that, you know, there is service delivery towards achieving this, and also the SADC. So I think, Chairperson, I will, with the slides, I'll stop there, because the following slide is the same. And just ask the members to go to page 14 of the document. Lubabalo and we have tried to cover those key areas of future work. I think members, Chairperson, through you, might have gone through the documents and are aware of the areas where the fifth parliament made recommendations that the committee going forward in their own strategic plan, if some of these issues can be taken into consideration. I will not go through that blow by blow, because some of them we have already highlighted. Just to say, there will be a planning session for this committee, and some of these areas will be discussed, so that the committee will take them forward. And also to say, there will be oversight areas where the committee will also participate in terms of decide which oversight areas they would like to prioritize. It's page 14 to 15. There are many of those areas which are highlighted there, which the committee will decide during the strategic planning session. But some of the areas, most of these areas I have summarized in the slide. We have already spoken about them. Here they are just listed one by one. And then on page 17, chapter 10 is the last of the recommendations which the fifth parliament is making to the sixth parliament. And maybe there, where what you can highlight is that the department bullet 6 on page 17, the branches of the department, different branches of the department towards the end of the chief parliament had raised issues to say they were increasingly frustrated by the fact that as nations of South Africa abroad, they are able to identify areas of cooperation with different countries and different entities and institutions. But they were observing slow response from government departments in terms of following up on those opportunities which they have identified abroad. So that was one area where the committee thought it would flag with the sixth committee to follow up on that. And also the fact that the missions in Asia, Oceanic, I think, they had raised an issue to the fact that the principals in South Africa were not seen to be participating in bilateral mechanisms with or making high level visits to the area. But I must say recently the president has turned that around. Asia is becoming more prominent again. So maybe that problem has been addressed as we speak. So chapter 10, I think I will stop there. Because this document is long, so we'll try to summarize as far as we can. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Honorable members, we are going to deliberate on the presentation, but what I want to ask you to focus on are the recommendations as presented to us by the previous administration and people who were in this portfolio committee, and then see how we move forward as this portfolio. I will open for hands so that I can note honorable members. Otherwise, if we can discuss the entire document, it will be the whole day. But if there's anything that one wants to raise, which was presented or reflecting on the presentation, you can also do that without being in that particular format. I'll open for hands now. With Honorable Gaffman, Honorable Reverend, Masani, Honorable Masani, we are number 3. Honorable Butobili San, Honorable Host, who else? Papelele Abu. So you won't be provoked. those who have not raised their hands won't be provoked and want to respond to other honorable members. Okay.
Okay, that's it.
Yes, thanks very much. As you see under the recommendations, and I assume you mean the key areas for future works is the recommendation. The enhance the role of South African missions abroad is quite important, but charity begins at home. So we need to be careful on how we word things, and we spent the whole of the last term trying to assist the officials and also to between the executive and the committee to show that the language we sometimes use in the reports already creates a bias. So yesterday in a certain committee meeting, the chairperson said that we're not friends of the US, but and this was said in front of other delegates, that that has an impact on our foreign services, it has an impact on bureaucrats. We need to be mindful that when we put reports and we show the solidarity in key areas, our consistency is going to be held to question. So when we talk about Morocco and we talk about Palestine, people would rightfully then ask why we're not talking about China or Russia. And in terms of how we do things, we should have a more. This is the one committee where diplomacy is key. So I would suggest that we prioritise, and this is based on experience from the last term, we prioritise our training, our diplomatic training. And I know that next week's oversight, we're going to be getting briefings from all the branches, etc., etc. But that there's an element of training on diplomacy in that. Our way we do things at this stage should be more diplomatic and less pointed until such time as we've undertaken oversight to these regions. And until such time as we're more consistent in our approach, I'd say that we need to just be very careful on how we word the legacy report recommendations. I do agree that the UN, and it's one of the things that has been listed in the legacy report, decisions that are taken at the UN, the AU, we never get a chance to oversight these positions. So this is a great opportunity for this committee to start fresh. And Chair, I would suggest that we prioritise our oversight to the UN. That's definitely something that would assist us. And yeah, I'll define my calls. Leave my comments for that for now.
In that order. Honorable Rosales.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Mine, I think, they are more of detailed and clarity-seeking questions. There have been meetings and joint commissions that have happened in the first Parliament. Can we get maybe a detailed report of the outcome, for example, for that joint commission? We might not have it now, but when we meet again for the joint commission that happened between South Africa and Iran in 2015. And then it's also highlighted here on the report that South African businesses that are conducting business overseas are facing legal and financial discrimination in other countries. What type of discriminations are these businesses facing, and can we nitpick and go into detail of what are these challenges? And then also if we can get a detailed report of the outcomes of this, on page 30, the NC4P, so that we understand what was discussed and where did they end in the first Parliament. And then it is also said that JERCO is facing challenges in the implementation of our foreign policy. What are those challenges and what are the critical areas that we need to look at moving forward? And then just to bring in something that is not in this report, I wanted to check the role and responsibility of the executive director of the UN Women, Umamo Kumbilimla. If you can just give us a detail of that and what is the role and responsibility that she's playing.
Thank you.
Honorable
Mshan.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question has to do with the 20 state-owned properties that are in Namibia. And we heard that some of them are dilapidated. Now my question is, what is hindering the department from selling those that they're not using? Because obviously we are paying for them, rates and taxes and so on. So my question is that why are they not sold? Because they're not being used and they're not needed. And on the issue of PAP, well, this is a general question, it was not spoken about, but I want to know whether when South Africa agreed to offer accommodation for PAP, was in the agreement an indication of who would carry the cost? Would it all be South Africa, or would other countries also contribute? And if you can give the details of it. And the third one is about the need for the Professional Diplomacy Academy. Where are our diplomats trained now if we don't have our own academy? And then, yeah, thank you.
No, thanks, Jay. I think, firstly, just to welcome the letters report and the detail provided in terms of two issues. One is that I think a lot of the issues contained in the recommendations would either continue work or work on which the department is supposed to give final detailed reports. So that is the part that we can hope for. It's important that committee secretariat monitors that and transmit whatever recommendations to the department for response. The second issue is in our planning session, I would request that the department provides us with a context of this VUCA, in particular the issue of Brexit, the implications for South Africa EU relations, the implications for our relations with the UK. The vote in the UK is coming in October. It's going to be a no Brexit deal, and what the implications are. And the second point under VUCA would be a brief, just a contextual brief on the continent. Our signing of the free trade agreement, the situation in Zimbabwe, the situation in Lesotho, the DRC crisis and the implications for the INGA project. The third issue under VUCA would be the developing situation the Gulf Peninsula, Iran, US, and I think the UK is entering that terrain. So, and the point raised about our involvement in multilateral fora, what are the context, what are the issues, particularly issues that have to do with us as a sovereign country and our championing of South-South agenda issues, and in particular the continent. I think other issues really are developmental issues that we ask on our colleagues.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm not going to deviate a lot from the previous speakers, except to say that I would request that let's have the strategic plan as soon as possible, so that we will then be able to engage on these issues. There are quite a number of recommendations that have been raised in the pages that you have highlighted. We also have to decide on the issue of the areas for agent oversight. In the report, there's also issues of outstanding issues
from the committee, that was reflected in page 32 and 33. And I think we cannot resolve these issues now at once. But I would really, Chair, say that we, as a committee, we need really to rush with speed in dealing with the issue of the oversight model. It's very much critical. that one is urgent, and also to deal with the challenges from the five programs that we have, particularly the administration. It seems that this is the one that is really messing up the department. even if you see the AG's report, is more coming from that program in particular. So we really have to nip in the bud those ones. And then the issue of the RAF as an entity, we really need to move with speed in the restructuring that vehicle, because the manner is how it's structured is really to collapse the department. We were not there when we were fighting over collapsing somewhere. So, Chair, I think, those are the issues that I think really, but overall, let's have the strategies then as soon as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Any other hands? Can you respond? People of the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. The charity speaking person, Chairperson, can respond. The others, I think, the department will be better placed. In terms of training for members, we have areas which we have listed, which will be in the document itself, which will be discussed further in the strategic plan session, particularly for training of members. It's not that the secretary is not there. It suffices to say in the Chief Parliament, we did have, we organized a training for members with the University of Johannesburg, and they actually went through a master program or something related. So there is training in diplomacy, there is training, and we also had the women members of the committee undergoing training on conflict management in Greco by the Diplomatic Academy. So there is training, and we had protocol training for all the members, protocol and etiquette. There are areas, different areas of training that will be lined up for members. The other element was training in the foreign language. It was just that the availability of members became a challenge. They would not be able to be available at the same time to be offered that. But it's something that the strategic plan will look into. In terms of companies facing discrimination, the department will go into depth on that one, but what has been happening is that South African companies operating abroad, in terms of even accessing entry into those countries, it should be a challenge in terms of our standards and codes in South Africa. Corruption is not tolerated. But in some of the countries, I'm not saying countries are corrupt, but you need to soil the authority that you are going to be dealing with in order to actually get access to facilities. So if you don't do that, the other companies will benefit. So some of the challenges related to that, and some of them related to the stringent requirements by those countries for an outsider to actually be able to
to make inroads into those countries. So it was slowly developing that South African companies were being discriminated against. And for example, the issue with MTN and in Nigeria, that was an area where there were genuine concerns, but because of the relations between South Africa and Nigeria and them, the matter was affected. So in the fourth parliament, that issue was discussed, where we discussed issues relating to South African companies operating abroad, just to assess the challenges they're facing and how they should be behaving themselves, because there were challenges in terms of, for example, okay, that was in Zambia, and there were issues of South African companies practicing discriminatory tendencies in those countries where blacks were treated, distracted from white employees. So that became an issue, and the committee discussed that. So the company, the trade also had issues with that, because they have a standard within which some of the companies at home should operate. But then outside, some of them were talking about, but in other instances, they were the ones being discriminated upon. So these are the issues which the committee will be dealing with, so that we can have a political pronouncement on the way South African companies, because they will be increasing, because with the drive by President Ramaphosa in terms of investment, South African companies are encouraged to invest abroad, so there will be many, and there will be challenges which this committee and the Committee on Trade and Industry, Economic Development will have to deal with. Then in terms of the why not sell, the department, actually the impact in Namibia was between Public Works and DECO in terms of what the IAMA, the Act IAMA provided. Disposal of properties abroad is left with the Department of Public Works. And therefore, and Public Works sort of had issues. They couldn't agree. They couldn't finalize processes towards disposing of some of the properties which were left unattended in Namibia. But that matter has since been addressed now after the committee has visited this place. And also the bill itself will assist in terms of addressing that long term, in terms of all properties beyond the overseas where the missions are, will be the responsibility of DECO. So this committee will be monitoring maintenance, renovations, and everything relating to those properties now by DECO, and also to make sure that DECO has the necessary policies, it has the necessary capacity, it has the necessary budget to undertake that huge mandate of running properties abroad. So that is something now that the deal will address once it is assented to by the president. The professionalization of diplomats and the academy, there is a diplomatic academy presently, but it's on a smaller scale. What the committee is thinking about and what is in the bill now is to have a full-fledged academy, sort of a university or institution, like what the committee saw in Canada, which is a foreign service institute, and also within BRICS, they have institutes, full-fledged institutes, where they train diplomats and also certify them through the existing certification institutions of higher learning. So in the bill now, that is provided for. So there will be the difference in terms of training, and also the fact that it's going to be compulsory for all the diplomats to go through that meal, to also, you know, pass the training so that, you know, people will qualify by merit to go and be prospered in the mission. And but that is taken care of by the DS currently. And the other issues, Chairperson, I think are comments which the committee is free to engage the department this afternoon on some of the issues. I was just dealing with the ones which were clarity seeking. Thank you, Chairperson.
Is there any other issue on the two suggestions? No. Okay. Can we move to the minutes, which is another point on the agenda? Consideration and adoption of the minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman. Just to say, members will be availed the report which was in 2012 dealing with companies, South Africa companies, abroad, the NCO, the petition, the report is available, and also the report on Namibia, the visit to Namibia, so that members can be informed of what transpired. Thank you.
Thank you. Noted. Okay. Others have three copies, others have two copies. Myself, I have two copies. They of the minutes. I assume that honorable members are familiar with the process of adopting minutes and so on. Don't adopt minutes of a meeting where you were not present. Don't even try and raise your hand, because that would be embarrassing. That will remind you. The minutes of the 2nd of July, we all have copies.
Yes,
of those minutes.
Yes, Chair.
Okay. It's really just a paragraph.
Just 2 minutes.
It's clear. The meeting was clear. Can we have a mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 2nd of July?
Yeah, I move for the adoption.
Honorable Rousseau.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes dated 2nd July.
A second up.
I second the minutes. I was present. I checked.
The different view from the adoption. So, Lolo. So, I'm assigned these minutes now. Ne? Okay.
With the correction, Chair?
Yes, correction.
I don't know whether I was part of the meeting or not, Chair. I see Mr. T.S. Moela instead of T.L. Moela.
D.L.
Moela instead of D.S. So that's the only correction.
Why?
Was part of
why
it.
Do you have English name?
Not.
And you
was not present.
I was. What you were doing?
So I will find the edited
version.
Minutes of the 3rd of July.
If you will be connected, it's pleasure.
Page 1. Corrections, matters arising.
Just a quick question, Chaplain. There are issues that needed to be addressed, but they needed to be addressed by the department. For example, we picked information on how projects are funded in the BRIC bank, but that's information that's going to come from the department. So there are matters that are arising on our minutes, but I don't think the team that we have today.
Well, there's only two. Just note those matters. Can we move for the adoption of the minutes of the 3rd of July 2019?
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mbanza. Second up. Thank you. Adoption of the minutes, not for the ruling party either. Anyone can move and adopt from adoption. Yeah, we are a collective here. Then we are different outside this room. So your participation is very important on this matter. Honorable members.
Yeah. but will dominate them when they don't.
There's no issue of dominance yet. Yeah.
Wow, much
more dominance. Can we move to the minutes of the 10th of July? Same problem, page 1, Honorable Mwela. Era. Page 2. This one, if you adopt the support the facet for no way, Jesus, I doubt.
Blah, 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 blah. What was the issue? Why have you not written the issue? You can't say there was any issue, there was also a concern to interact with the minister. You must say the qualified issue. You must raise the system. You raise the, you write a concern.
No, honourable members, the minutes of the 10th of July must go back. This was the longest meeting ever.
Yeah.
And it must be reflective of the adjournment. And around the minister's establishment policy review panel and the concerns raised, the concerns must be returned there. Can't be that you guys are going to say when you write there was also a concern raised around. What was the concern raised? Must be there. We can't have 2 pages of that meeting. That meeting was long. How many adjournments did we have? 5 or 6? I
hope.
Really now. So please, these ones, we are pleading that you redo these minutes. Leave shortcuts, you want detail of what transpired in that particular meeting. Yeah. And that mediocre of the department must reflect here.
And the chairperson subpoena of the director as well.
So, this minute, are we in agreement that they must be adopted in the next meeting?
We
can't have 2 pages. 1 page? Or 2 pages?
This is short left.
Yeah, short left minutes are not allowed. Yes. If there's nothing else, we can adjourn the meeting. Announcement.
Thank you, members. We have arranged that lunch to be served at 1.
You?
To 2. And then at 2 start with the department with their briefing. Thank you, sir. Yes. The venue is going to be this one.
Oh. For lunch?
No,
for lunch and also the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Lunch? Yeah. Meeting, yeah. They're going to be working lunch.
It's 1 to 2.
1 to 2
lunch. Lunch and then from 2 to 5 it's a meeting with them.
Very long.
Honorable members, I think we must have a working lunch.
Mm-hmm.
If it's finger, there's no need for us to sit in. I mean, ready now. For an hour, for a finger lunch. No. We are going to start at 1.
Okay. Yeah.
Have a working lunch so that you are able to finish early. 5 o'clock will be too late. I know some of the honorable members might want to go to the by-elections in Ward 95 and show face there and do a door-to-door and so on, because it's very important that you show face now. So 1 o'clock we are reconvening here. We are going to have a working lunch and receive presentations from the department. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Right, sure.